ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी श्रीमद्भागवतम् Seventh Canto, Chapter 6. Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Text 4. Tat prayaso na kartavyo jata ayur vaya विन्दते क्षेमं मुकुन्द चरणाम्बुजम् न प्रयासो न कर्तव्यो जतोऽयुर्वयः परम् न तथा विन्दते क्षेमम् मुकुन्द चरणाम्बुजम् तत् फॉर दैट सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन एंड इकोनॉमिक डेवलपमेंट प्रयास एंडेवर न नॉट कर्तव्य टू बी डन जतः फ्रॉम व्हिच आयु दया वेस्ट ऑफ ड्यूरेशन ऑफ लाइफ परम ओनली और अल्टीमेटली नॉर तथा इन दैट वे विन्दते एंजॉय क्षेम द अल्टीमेट गोल ऑफ लाइफ मुकुंद ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हू कैन डिलीवर वन फ्रॉम द मटेरियल क्लचेस चरणाम्बुजम् The Lotus Feet. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. We see materialistic persons busily engaged in economic development all day and all night, trying to increase their material opulence. But even if we suppose that they get some benefit from such endeavors, that does not solve the real problems of their lives. Nor do they know what the real problem of life is. This is due to a lack of spiritual education. Especially in the present age, every man is in darkness, in the bodily conception of life, not knowing anything of the spirit soul and its needs. Misguided by the blind leaders of society, people consider the body to be everything, and they are engaged in trying to keep the body materially comfortable. Such a civilization is condemned because it does not lead humanity towards knowing the real goal of life. People are simply wasting time and the valuable gifts of the human form, because a human being who does not cultivate spiritual life but dies like the cats and dogs is degraded in his next life. From human life, such a person is put into the cycle of continuous birth and death. Thus, one loses the true benefit of human life, which is to become Krishna conscious and solve life's problems. Tat prayasya na kartavyo jato ayu vayakvaram na tatha vindate kshemam mukunda charanam bhujam. Endeavor is merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development and not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development.
Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamaitham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padukamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamshcha Shri Rupam Shabrajatam Shahavana Raghunathan Nitam Tvam Shajivam Shadvaitam Shabudhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahavana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanibho Vaishnavebho Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram. So Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his demoniac friends. Prahlad Maharaj at that time was only a 5-year-old boy, but here you can see that he was situated in absolute knowledge. And from this we can understand that absolute knowledge or pure Krishna consciousness doesn't depend upon one's age. Krishna consciousness is actually a state of the spirit soul. When the spirit soul becomes free from the coverings of ignorance, free from material contamination, then the spirit soul shines with the brilliance of pure Krishna consciousness. And that is the perfection of life. Originally we all are pure spirit souls. Originally we all are purely situated in our spiritual identity. But unfortunately, due to our aversion to Krishna, we have fallen into this material nature and we have become covered over with the gross body and the subtle body. The spirit soul has become covered first by the subtle body and then by the gross body. And as a result of that covering, the spirit soul forgets his real identity and tries to identify himself with the body. And the spirit soul is a conscious being. The consciousness, the awareness of our self, awareness of our existence comes from the spirit. But that awareness is imposed on this material body. And instead of becoming aware of our spiritual identity, instead of becoming conscious of our spirit soul, we become conscious of our material body. And whatever desires, spontaneous and natural desires, there are in our spiritual identity are actually imposed or reflected through the material body. Whatever we want spiritually, whatever our spirit soul wants, we are actually trying to fulfill those desires through the gross and subtle material bodies. And no matter how much we try to satisfy those desires, but because we are endeavoring in a wrong way, we never become satisfied. Our desires always remain unfulfilled. It is natural for a living entity to desire for enjoyment, because the living entity is constitutionally, in his constitutional position, a living entity is joyful. Whatever we are actually desiring, they are our spiritual desires. And ultimately all our desires can culminate into three principal desires, or three basic desires. And those three basic desires are desire for immortality, desire for knowledge, and desire for bliss, desire for joy. Everyone is endeavoring for these three things. All our desires culminate into these three desires. Whatever we are trying to do are actually for immortality or to acquire absolute knowledge. We want to know everything, and we are trying to become joyful. But no matter how much we try, how hard we try, these desires never become fulfilled. People are wasting their time. People are endeavoring so much to become immortal. No one wants to die. And everyone is constantly struggling to remain alive forever. But in due course of time, everyone succumbs to death. We are trying to know everything. They are constantly endeavoring to know about everything, but still, whatever we get to know is so little, and then again, whatever we learn, we forget. The desire for knowledge also is never fulfilled. And we are trying to become blissful. We are constantly endeavoring to enjoy, but no matter how hard we try, our endeavor for enjoyment ultimately culminates into frustration and disappointment, which ultimately leads to misery. More we try to enjoy, the more frustrated and more disappointed we become. Now an intelligent man wonders why, in spite of trying to enjoy, we are not actually enjoying. Actually, Vedic philosophy gradually leads one from one state to the higher, the next higher state. First, the Vedas have prescribed the karma kanda. If somebody wants to enjoy, the Vedas have given the direction. Okay, you want to enjoy? You can fulfill your desires by performing these activities. And that is called the karma kanda section of the Vedas. You want to enjoy, you want to have a lot of money? Okay. Perform this sacrifice to the worship of demigods. You will get a lot of money. You want to have good health? The prescriptions are there. You want to have a beautiful woman? The prescriptions are there. You want to be a king? The prescriptions are there. But in spite of fulfilling all those desires, one actually ultimately realizes that there is no enjoyment. Although one can fulfill these desires in the material platform, one can be very wealthy, one can be very healthy, one can have the association of many beautiful women, one can become the king of the earth planet or even king of the heavenly planet, or even get the position of Lord Brahma by performing this Vedic ritual, performing specific sacrifices, but still one doesn't become satisfied at the end. The frustration follows him wherever he goes. So an intelligent man begins to wonder, why am I not enjoying? I'm trying to enjoy so much and I do not want to suffer. But still, instead of enjoying, I'm ending up becoming miserable. Why is that? And at that point, one actually transcends the Karmakanda section of the Vedas and comes to the Gyanakanda. Way to understand the cause of his misery. And Gyanakanda gradually describes the causes of suffering through different branches of philosophy known as Naya, Vaisheshika, Shankha and Yoga. Through Naya philosophy, one analyzes logically. One reasons and tries to find out the cause of his misery. And very nicely, it has been described through the Naya branch of philosophy, different causes of our suffering. The first cause of suffering is this body. We have this body, therefore we must suffer. Because this body is actually a wonderful instrument to receive pain. This body is not actually designed for enjoyment. The body has been designed to receive pain. Nature has given us this wonderful gift to suffer in this material nature. So that is the first conclusion of Naya. And that we can also see how this body is actually an instrument for suffering. Take any part of your body and consider in how many different ways you can give pain to this body, to that part. Take your little finger and consider in how many different ways you can give pain. Like you can smash this finger, you'll get a lot of pain. You can cut this finger, you can get a lot of pain. You can burn this finger, you can get a lot of pain. So there are so many different ways to inflict pain on this little finger. But now you consider how you can give pleasure to this little finger. Hardly there is any way to give pleasure to this finger. And that principle applies to every single part of our body. This body can receive pain in thousands and millions of different ways. But this body can hardly register or experience pleasure. And then the other considerations are, there are six senses, and those senses are actually the means to receive pain. Our senses are actually receiving, we are experiencing pain through our senses. Then there are six objects of the senses, they are also the causes of pain. There are six kinds of growth towards the material direction, they are also causes of pain. Then, happiness is the cause of pain, and then pain itself is the cause of pain. So this is how, through this 21 analysis, Naya described how one is actually supposed to, one is destined to suffer when he comes to this material nature. Just like a person, just like when a criminal goes to the prison, he goes to the prison to suffer, not to enjoy. And if a prisoner thinks that he is going to enjoy the prison, then he is nothing but a fool. Similarly, if a person tries to enjoy in this material nature, he is nothing but a fool. This material nature is not a place for enjoyment. It's a place for suffering. So if we really want to enjoy, then we have to get out of this material nature. Just like a prisoner, If he wants to become free from suffering, then he must get out of the prison house. And then the Vedas are giving direction how one can get out of this material nature. There are different ways one can get out of this material nature. One is by means of yoga or austerity. One can withdraw himself from the material nature and thus get out of the material nature. And the other is recognizing the cause of one's punishment and rectifying himself of that defect and thus get out of the material nature. And out of these two, out of one's own endeavor to get out of the material nature and the other one by being surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus becoming free from one's offenses, one can get out of the material nature. Of these two, surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the easier means. And not only an easier means, it is the way to get out of this material nature. The best way to get out of the material nature, or the only way to get out of the material nature, is just to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the cause of our material bondage, the cause of our suffering in this material nature is our rejection or aversion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Our disobedience to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Our only crime is that we have rejected Krishna. So if we accept Krishna, then we become free from our crime, free from our offense. And ultimately it has been pointed out that yoga actually leads one to the point of surrender. By means of yoga, one cannot actually get out of this material nature. Unless and until one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no possibility for him to get out of this material nature. And this process of yoga only reveals the identity or reveals the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is sitting in our hearts. That the yogi, in his perfected state of yoga, perceives the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the super soul in the heart. But when one perceives the Lord in the heart as the super soul, when one recognizes the Lord as the absolute personality, and in the light of that knowledge sees himself as a minute part and parcel of that Supreme Personality, then he naturally bows down to him, naturally surrenders unto him. And that surrender is the beginning of devotional service. When one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Sharanagati, or prapatti, is the beginning of devotional service. So, when one attains samadhi or perfection in yoga, then only he becomes a devotee of the Lord. Then only he can become a devotee of the Lord. And that is the gradual progression in the ascending process. Gradually, one is elevating. But in this age, very fortunately, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we received the process of devotional service directly. Anyone can become engaged in devotional service by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we just accept that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then our life will become successful. Otherwise, in other ages, one had to gradually elevate himself. One had to first come to the human platform, and then in the human platform, one had to go through the varnashram system, and then one could come only when one came to the Brahminical platform. Then he had the access to the Vedic literature, Vedic scriptures. only Brahmanas and Kshatriyas could directly perform and take the directions from the spiritual masters and become engaged in these activities. The Sudras did not have any access to this Vedic wisdom, because the Sudras mean, Sudra meant a person who is unqualified to understand this very lofty philosophy or very lofty way of life. And then one could become engaged in these activities of performance of sacrifices, and then one could come to the platform of renunciation and go to the forest and practice the yoga system, Ashtanga yoga system. Because unless and until one withdrew himself from the society, unless and until one left this materialistic association, one could not become engaged in the performance of yoga, Ashtanga yoga. And then by perfecting in the practice of Ashtanga yoga, one could become a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was not so easily, this devotional service was not so easily available to the living entities at that time. But in this age, it has become available to anyone and everyone. Not only devotional service, but it is the devotional service on the highest platform. That is, devotional service also can be performed in different mellows. Devotional service can be performed in the mellow of friendship, a mellow of neutrality and servitorship, friendship, parental and conjugal. And basically they have been divided into two categories, Oishwarjapar and Madhurjapar, in awe and reverence and in spontaneous relationship. So in oil, the devotees in oil reverence are considered to be at a lower platform of devotional service. But those who are engaged in spontaneous devotional service or madhurya, conjugal devotional service, that is considered to be the highest. And that devotional service was not available. It was very, very rare. This devotional service was rare even for the great personalities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. But that devotional service to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan, not at all available for those, even such great personalities. But this has been available due to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to anyone and everyone. Therefore, Rupa Goswami described Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurattishe Nama. Rupa Goswami recognized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna. How? Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came covering his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came as a devotee, but Rupa Goswami recognized him. And Rupa Goswami's logic was that this Krishna prema is rare for great personalities like Lord Brahma and Shiva. But this devotional service, Madhur Bhakti, the conjugal devotional relationship with Krishna, is being distributed by this personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna prema is being distributed by this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without any consideration and reservation. So who else but Krishna himself can distribute this devotional service? It is rare even for the greatest of personalities. Now it has become so easily available. So who is the person who is actually distributing this devotional service? So this must be Krishna himself. Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namne, Gaurav Kishenava. So that Krishna has now appeared as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore I offer my humble obeisances unto him. So this is how the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Shastra Chakshusha, through the eyes of the scriptures, could recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this Mahaprabhu's teaching, Mahaprabhu's gift, has further been described as Aradha Bhagavan Brajeshwatanai Stabdhamo Vrindavana Ramma Kachin Upashana Brajabhutu Vargena Ja Kolpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumartha Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatravara Napara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching has been summarized in this way. Mahaprabhu's teaching is the Aradha Bhagavan Brajeshwatanai. The supreme worshipable Lord is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Not the son of Vasudeva. What to speak of other incarnations of Krishna. The supreme worshipable Lord is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Brajeshwatanai. Stadhama Vrindavanam, and his abode is Vrindavan. Ramma Kachi Dupashana Brajavadhu Vargena Jakulpita. And the way the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan worshipped him, that is the highest form of worship. Ramma Kachi Dupashana. That means this is the highest form of devotional service. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, of Vrindavan and the way the gopis worshipped him. And that is in the mellow of conjugal love. Jaya jaya jada rasho, sarva rasho shar, parokiya bhave jaha, brujete prachar. Of all the transcendental mellows of devotional service, the highest and the most brilliant is and the essence of all the devotional mellows is the madhu or conjugal relationship with Krishna. The gopis' conjugal relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan. And so Ramma Kachi Dupashana Brajabodhu Vargena Jakulpita. And that is the highest form of worship, the way the gopis of Vrindavan. Now the question may arise, what is the proof? Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam. Of all the scriptures, there is only one spotless Quran, which is totally free from all the tinges of material modes. Other scriptures, other Puranas have some material influences of the mode. But this one Quran is completely free, and that is called Amal Quran, Srimad Bhagavatam. Mal means contamination, Amal means devoid of contamination, completely free from all contamination. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the proof. Prema and the Prema Pumartha Mahan. That was before. The ultimate goal of life is to attain loving devotional service to Krishna, loving relationship with Krishna, prema. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam, this is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tatra dao na para. Just accept it and do not accept anything. So, this is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The highest thing has been brought down to this earth for the lowest kind of people. Actually, the people in the age of Kali are the most degraded. The lowest kind of people are actually born in this age of Kali. But for these most degraded people, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the highest gift from the spiritual sky. And that, by Mahaprabhu's arrangement, as he predicted himself, has been spread all over the world by his most qualified, most intimate devotee, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And as Prahlad Maharaj pointed out here, that life should not be wasted with any other activity, with any other endeavor. Now that we have received this human form of life, we must take full advantage of it by developing Krishna consciousness. And the highest form of Krishna consciousness has become most easily available, no matter how degraded, how fallen we are. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any comment or question? Yes.
I have a question. You mentioned that the sutras had no access to study the Veda because they were sutra means he's unqualified.
Yeah.
And in this age it said that everyone is born as a sutra and that's not qualified. So how is it that he'll understand the highest thing? What I would take the name he couldn't approach.
Yeah. Yeah, by birth everyone is actually a sutra. Even a Brahmana's son, the most qualified Brahmana's son, is also a sutra by birth. But Shamishkarat Bhavati Pija, by the process of purification, he becomes twice born. So, yes, in this age, everyone is a sutra. Ashuddha Sutra Kalpahi, Brahmana Kali Shambhava. In the age of Kali, even the Brahmanas will become as impure, ashuddha, as the sutras. But although everyone is completely unqualified, by receiving the mercy of the spiritual master, they become twice born. The criteria for becoming a brahmana is to receive the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master. Samskara Bhavati Puja. The second birth is the birth of the spirit soul. And that takes place through the spiritual master and the Veda. The Veda is the mother and the spiritual master is the father. So spiritual master actually reveals the wisdom of the Vedas in the heart of the disciple. And that is the criteria for his second birth. And in this age also that's how the people are becoming Brahmanas. Any other questions? Yes.
It's about the Ramanujacharya, he said that he who creates all times and also fulfills all the times is Lord Krishna. And the living entity only can make a choice in which way he can act to become closer or follow to Krishna. Then what is the reason that the living entity always thinks, I have so much desire, so I create different desires?
You see, living entity has the facility to desire. Actually, spirit soul is conscious. And the sign of consciousness is in desire. So wherever there is consciousness, there must be desire. Even a tree is desiring to be exposed to the light of the sun. Right? So everyone, wherever there is consciousness, there must be desire. But a living entity has the freedom to decide for himself what he is going to desire. And then ultimately he can decide, ultimately all his desires can be classified into two desires. Whether he is going to desire for his sense gratification or whether he is going to desire for Krishna's sense gratification. Now when he desires to enjoy his senses, he ends up becoming miserable. But when he desires to give pleasure to Krishna's senses, then he becomes joyful. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Shevana Bhakti Vichyate. And when we engage our senses to satisfy Krishna's senses, that's devotional service. And it is up to us to design. Krishna doesn't create. Krishna facilitates to fulfill the material desires. A living entity desires. It's not that Krishna tells some living entities, okay, you go to the material nature. You develop material desires and go to material nature. Krishna is neutral. Yes. Because Krishna facilitates the living entities who have the desire to enjoy without Him, to enjoy, to fulfill their desires in the material nature. Because in the spiritual nature, you cannot fulfill that desire. In the spiritual nature, you cannot enjoy without Krishna. Because in the spiritual nature, Krishna is the center of everything. So you have to become connected to Krishna or become Krishna conscious. But if you decide that, well, I will not enjoy with Krishna, I will enjoy without Krishna, I will enjoy alone, then we need a special arrangement to fulfill that desire. And Krishna actually made that arrangement by providing us with this material nature. Any other question? Our glorious Srila Prabhupada.